FSN Radio. It's all about what's next. Go to financialsurvivalnetwork.com and sign up for your free weekly newsletter. You'll also get three free reports. The Financial Survival Network. It's all about what's next.
Welcome, and you are listening to the Financial Survival Network. I'm Kerry Lutz. It's June 1st, 2018. Well, you know, so many of you out there don't have a real job. You're part of the gig economy. You want to be professional YouTubers or podcasters, which is great. I think you should pursue your dream, but can you make a living doing it? Will you be one of the precious few who can really make a good income doing new media? That's the question. But first, as always, join the show, join the dialogue, make my day. Send me an email, kl@kerrylutz.com. Best part of the day, reading your emails. Well, can you make a living at it? Is it for you? Is it for everyone? Will we have a nation of YouTubers and podcasters now that artificial intelligence is taking over the world? Here to discuss it is our good friend, Captain Capitalism, Aaron Clary. Find him at blogspot.captaincapitalism.com, his latest work. Aaron, welcome back.
Welcome. Thanks, Kerry.
Hey, so this thought hit you, and I've been thinking about it for a long, long time, honestly, is now that the robots are going to do everything and artificial intelligence and the computers, you don't have to think. I mean, they're picking stocks. They're writing reviews on all different platforms, writing stock write-ups, securities analysts,
writing students' thesis papers.
Yeah, like you just ask Siri, write me a thesis on prehistoric man, and Siri will pop it back in like 15 seconds, right?
Mm-hmm. You could get a master's now just sleeping at home.
Hey, and what's wrong with that?
Nothing at all.
Except you should, ideally, if this were a perfect world, you might actually know something. But seriously, and not seriously with an I, look, what is your average middle-class person, your Joe Sixpack, going to do in this world, Aaron?
Well, now what they're going to do is work cubicle jobs. That's basically what they're going to do. They're going to line up and queue up at the metered ramps. They're going to queue up on the interstates, and they're going to sit in front of a computer. That's at least a plurality, if not the majority of people, what they're going to do. If we're really, really lucky, and there's some true business leaders, I know business people with their MBAs always like to claim that they're business leaders, they will realize that they should probably let a lot of us telecommute from home. And mm-hmm. I think that'd be a great advancement. But that's the majority, is most of us are going to be cubicle slaves. And then some of us will be tradesmen and tradeswomen. You know, we'll be out there working the Bakken oil field or changing oil or working on cars or fixing computers. But that is what is in the fates for the vast majority of us until the robots take over artificial intelligence and they make and create every material desire and satisfy every whim we ever have. But until that time, yes, we are going to have to work in the foreseeable future.
So cubicle jobs and crafts, obviously, I don't think that the robots will yet be able to say, oh, like, let's just create some furniture and fill this room up and it'll be perfect. That's a ways off, isn't it?
Right. I don't think anyone's taught them how to do feng shui just yet. And I know everyone's worried about the robots taking their jobs, but I don't think the day is ever going to come that a robot will have true artistic talent. So if you have tastes and preferences and you are indeed human, you will have to design your own house and pick your own furniture and not have a robot do it.
Well, I'm disappointed. It would have been so easy. Like, I'm moving again. I was thinking, I'll just dump all my furniture and I'll just have a robot do everything custom made from the ground up, 3D printed, whatever it takes. And then I'll just bring my suitcase, my clothes. Maybe I could just get it to make new clothes for me too and just throw them out as well. And just move in there with my computers, my equipment, my audio equipment, and I'm ready to go. But we're not quite there yet, huh?
No. But Amazon will deliver the furniture for you. They will deliver it for you. But no, we're not there yet.
Yeah. Well, hopefully we'll never be there. But certain jobs, look, like, I know that recently self-driving vehicles haven't exactly gotten the best rap. It seems like It seems like it's more dangerous to be in a self-driving vehicle in this day and age than it is to hang out on the south side of Chicago on a weekend.
Yeah, that's true. Not by much, but yeah, the self-driving technology has not been perfected. But the day that comes, I'm going to be very happy because I'll just hop in a car, take a nap, and I'll come visit you. I'll just wake up at your front doorstep by the time the self-driving car pulls up to your place.
I love it. I love it, and I'm ready for it, but it's not there yet. And imagine having a huge 18-wheeler with 20 tons of cargo just to decide that it doesn't agree with the direction of the highway, and it's going to go its way, and the highway and the rest of the drivers be damned. That could be rather catastrophic, right?
Right, right. So I am glad that there's still going to be I think the artificial intelligence thing is way overblown. I know a lot of people work in McDonald's or Starbucks are a little bit worried about losing their jobs, but intellectually interesting and stimulating as it is to think about an artificial economy or artificial intelligence economy, I don't think it's going to. I mean, shoot, unemployment is below 4% for the first time since, gosh, George Bush.
Yeah.
I don't think you're going to have to worry about starvation. I think it's not going to be the day where we're all replaced like Will Smith and iRobot, and we all have this problem of existential crisis and a lack of agency. So, yeah, there are jobs out there, and the robots are not going to take them just yet.
Yeah, but we are seeing a trend where millennials especially want to become influencers. You want to start your YouTube channel. You want to start a podcast. You're blogging on the web and all that. And you can make money at it. I'm proof of that. That's why I wrote a book. I don't know if you caught the book called Viral Podcasting, A Proven Process to Earn a Six-Figure Income from Your Show. It can be done, but that's like 5 to 10% of the people able to do that, Aaron. People like you and I don't know that these millennials have what it takes.
Well, I'm 5 to 10% is generous. I'd say it's probably more akin to professional athletes where it's 1 in 20,000.
Okay. I don't want to be too
try out. I mean, it's very rare to support yourself on a YouTube channel or social media or Twitter or self-publishing and podcasting.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So it's not going to make up for that factory job that was paying close to 100K a year, starting your own YouTube channel. I mean, look, I'm not saying don't do it. I love what I do here, but it's feast or famine. You know, some years are really good, other years not so great. And you have to be able to deal with those mood swings. It's not an easy road. It's the streets of YouTube and podcasting are certainly not paved with gold.
No. Well, that's the problem. There's a lot of these kids and kids, you know, people under 30, I guess millennials are in their 30s now and starting to have kids, but Gen Z millennials, they like any young people, they want to believe the grass is greener on the other side or there's an easy way out. And I remember having friends of mine whose kids like, oh yeah, they're going to become a YouTuber. I'm like, that's not a thing. I know PewDiePie or whatever the guy's name and Jenna Marbles, like these really super famous YouTube celebrities. Yeah, those are like 3 people out of 7 billion people on the planet. You know, there's always going to be the statistical oddity. But you don't just like, well, I'm going to become a YouTuber at 17. You're 17. You don't know anything. You're not interesting or entertaining. You're a blank slate. What are you going to possibly do that's entertaining? So what's interesting, though, is there are some. I mean, it's undeniable. Now, I point out the millionaire and the hyper-successful YouTubers and social media type of people. But there is an increasing amount of people I listen to. I'm sure you have your favorite podcasts and your favorite YouTube channels and self-published authors. It is possible to make it. But, you know, take you and I, for example. You were a lawyer first. I was in banking first. And then this was more like hobbies that all of a sudden we had a pension for, and, you know, God bless us. It was a blessing to all of a sudden find out that people liked our stuff and we were good enough or had a skill at it that we could go and make a living at it. But right now there's like anything else. There's just this overabundance, so everybody has a podcast, everybody has a YouTube channel. And when you're a young man or woman, to think that is something that you go and heaven help us. Oh my gosh, Cherry, please. I fear the day you're going to be able to major in social media. You're going to be able to major in YouTube. And people are going to pay good money to get a master's in YouTube, and then they're going to try and because, heck, you can even get a master's in creative writing. It's like, why don't you just go write? Mm-hmm. So I fear that the modicum of success that people have had with social media in terms of making a career is attracting a lot of wannabes and entrepreneurs that don't have the work, let alone the life experience, to run a successful social media company and actually make a living at it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. You gotta have some kind of talent here, and you have to have some type of ability. And the problem is that this is all stuff you don't really learn in school. Yeah, you learn communications, you learn various writing, creative writing, you can learn videography, you can learn audio mastering, all that stuff, Aaron. But as far as how to be entertaining, how to build an audience, and how to connect with large numbers of people, there's nothing out there, no one out there really teaching you how to do it. It doesn't exist.
Right. No, I mean, Don Rickles didn't go and major in humor. He went through World War II and grew up in New York and had life experiences that made him Don Rickles, an entertaining person. Mm-hmm. And so I think, if anything, it's life experience that allows you to do it. But what I'm kind of feeling is relating back to the artificial intelligence and the roboticized economy, the economy has always been improving and advancing in terms of technology. And that has allowed us to swap in easier labor for hard labor. And now it's even just kind of like an entertainment value. Like 20, 30 years ago, there was no way you could have made a living as a podcaster, YouTuber, self-published author. Now, with the advent of the internet, bandwidth and everything, we can. So I think down the road, a point in time where more and more, what we call skullduggery or boring, laborious type of work is done by robots, is done by artificial intelligence, is done by software. There's going to be, quote, less and less traditional jobs, cubicle jobs, hauling cement, driving jobs, that these people are going to have to go and look for jobs elsewhere. Now, I would recommend the great classical quote from The Simpsons is, the Bart and Lisa go into a military academy, and upon graduation, the commandant says, your job In the wars of the future is very clear. Robots will be fighting the wars, and your job will be to maintain and build those robots. And so what I would recommend is people go into the world of computer programming, artificial intelligence, skills that cannot be replaced, plumbing, surgeons, a thing like that. But then as a hobby, there's an outside chance that you could become a YouTuber. You could become a podcast or some kind of social media. And like you, I encourage everybody to write a book. I encourage everybody to try podcasting, but you have to have a daytime job. But down the road, there's going to come this point in time, and this is, we're talking 100, 200 years down the road. What they claim artificial intelligence can do, we may have, and this is just continuing on the continuum and the spectrum, there's going to be fewer and fewer real tasks and hurdles and jobs humanity will have to do. And what I'm afraid, and you kind of already see it happening today, is that the market's going to get flooded where everybody's an entertainer, everybody's a YouTuber, everybody's a podcaster. And right now, in order to do that, to have this many people being podcasting, YouTube, to have this level of a flooded market, these people have got to be getting the subsidy from somewhere. They're on welfare. More commonly the case is that practically any gal who's a quote journalist in New York writing for Salon or XO Jane, they're living off their parents or their husband's money. That's just how it is. It's not bigotry or anything like that. Just the math doesn't add up. You're not actually cutting it. But down the road, I think the point in time will come that most people will be either providing entertainment or consuming entertainment. I just wrote an article about it, as this kind of entertainment singularity, where I don't know if you ever saw the movie. What was it? WALL-E.
Oh yeah. WALL-E.
Movie, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Everyone in outer space, all the humans are these fat, bloated sloths. Yeah. I mean,
it sounds like Idiocracy.
Yeah, or Idiocracy. Yes, it's going to be a lot like that, where the robots are taking care of everything and humans are slowly no longer becoming human. And all you do is you eat and you consume entertainment and produce entertainment. And so if you think it through, it sounds kind of all right on the face of it. Hey, what, we're all YouTubers and podcasters? Like, well, yeah, you could be. But it's more of a dystopian future the more and more you think about it, because the human mind, you just can't provide and consume entertainment. You have to do something else. You have to have some kind of agency, job, career, profession, meaning and purpose in life, rather than just be a consumer or a producer.
Right. Agreed. So maybe there's going to be a decline of population because we just...
Oh, that's already happening. People. Oh, yeah. No, that's already happening. Most people, you know, and this is the pot calling the kettle black. A lot of people look and say, how much does it take to raise a kid? I mean, you have two kids, right?
Three.
Yeah. I mean, that's a full-time job right there.
Yeah.
I didn't have that courage. And a lot of people nowadays, you know, especially when you're saddled with a ton of student loan debt, that's kind of the last thing on most people's minds. But, yeah, most definitely. If you can get by on an easy life and all you have to do is maybe make a video or two a day and you can go golf and play the rest of the day. A lot of people are checking out of the child rearing game today.
I know a lot of them, even my age, and I got a few decades on you, Aaron, have chosen not to have kids. A lot of people I meet down here, whereas in my former life, being in a community where everyone cared about the schools, really high quality schools compared to most public schools anyway, the idea of someone not having kids was like unheard of. But now all that has changed. That I find fascinating. And, you know, the world is going to be a different place. I always think back to Eisenhower's statement, things are more like they are now than they've ever been before, right? And they're going to really be more like that in the future. It's kind of almost a Yogi Berra-ism. Like if you come to a fork in the road, take it. Right. So a lot of you have gotten to that fork and chosen not to do child rearing, which, hey, more power to you. It's a little late in the game for me to be reminiscing and hoping, but it's very, very true. And hey, so what's with the scorpions here? Like you're on a war against a jihad against scorpions.
Yes, jihad against scorpions. I got an agreement with my buddy. Speaking of having no kids and adventuring, I got an agreement with my buddy who has a house down in Vegas. He's here intermittently. And he says, look, here's the keys. Just, you know, keep an eye on the place, clean it up. And one night I found a dead scorpion in the kitchen. And I wanted to make sure I didn't have any unwanted guests, especially in the bed. So I tore up the place, looked for scorpions, bought a black light, went out in the back and found that there's a couple scorpions out there. And so I have declared war on the scorpions. And so even though I would like to go and have fun, you know, a deal's a deal. Plus, I don't want to get stung. And I found out they're the Arizona bark scorpion, which are the most venomous in North America. And so it's like, yeah, my focus has been killing as many scorpions as possible. So, I got more chemical weapons than Syria does right now. I'm going to go and...
And you have a red line. You got a red line in the sand too, right? Any of them go there and you go nuclear.
Yep.
Do you think...
Yep. And then...
You think the nuclear testing has affected any of these scorpions and their behavior and their ability to withstand highly hostile environments?
Well, here's the problem. I became an expert on scorpions in like that night. The when I found out there were scorpions, I became an expert because YouTube told me everything. In addition to cockroaches, scorpions will survive a nuclear blast.
Really?
They're very determined little critters. They won't die unless you physically kill them. And there's a specific scorpion spray. But the best you can hope for is to eliminate their habitat so that they go somewhere else. So you got like a two-prong approach to the war, see, in battling the scorpions. One, you have defense. So I have caulked every conceivable possible hole in this house. If we have a biblical flood, this house will float because there's just so much caulk around the outside. And then the other thing is you bring the war to them. And so, right after this, I'm going to run off to the homie Depot and grab myself a yard vacuum and start vacuuming up all the leaves and shrubbery and everything else back there. So, if you read through the symptoms of getting bit by one of these things, it's not good. There's frothing at the mouth, convulsions. And they say, don't go to the hospital. You're just going to have to endure it. And it's like, I don't know if I could go to the hospital if I'm convulsing on the floor and frothing at the mouth. So I'm going to make sure there's not one of these things around for a mile at least.
Right. Right. I gotcha. So yeah, scorpions, who would have ever thought? Well, here, you know, in Florida, problem is we've got these iguanas and they're non-indigenous and they're harmful to the vegetation and they kind of crap up your backyard and your pool. If you have a pool, forget it. They think it's a toilet bowl. And there was an article, I kid you not, in the Sun Sentinel, which is just a crappy paper here in Broward County. And it said the best way to kill an iguana is to smash its brains out. Now, that's a little too up close and personal for most people. I'm thinking I'll just use a pellet gun on rapid fire. Nobody will probably get hurt. And, you know, hit that thing enough times. Some people are using bows and arrows, and they seem to find that very inhumane and objectionable. I don't know the right
way. Hold it. You're using guns? How big are these iguanas?
They're like 3-4 feet long.
Oh, they're big.
And they're really fast, too. I mean, you want something that can do fully automatic, but you don't want to be shooting a fully automatic weapon in your backyard. Pellet gun seems right. to be a pretty good option. And
why am I picturing you dressed like a sniper in Vietnam in your backyard of Floridian foliage and you got the war paint on and you got a little pellet gun and you got your hat on backwards? I'm picturing you're talking to yourself like they did. What was it? Apocalypse Now. I'm just seeing a very interesting picture right now.
Yeah, exactly. Well, I'm figuring like if I can't get a pellet gun, probably a Barrett sniper rifle, 50 caliber, would probably do the job.
Might be enough. Yeah,
you think?
Might be enough. Well, do you have them in your backyard? You got to worry about
them. Yeah, this thing's
just in the news.
And they're so freaking fast, Aaron. Like the second you open the door, they bolt off. And they go from 0 to 20 in like 3 seconds. Like they could definitely take on a Tesla.
Holy cow. They can actually go 20 miles an hour.
Oh my God. They are the fastest things I've ever seen. They can't hold that speed, but they definitely can. You know, they're amazing. Okay. They're just amazing. Go look at YouTube and watch those things run. Some people breed them as pets. I find them disgusting. So, you know, they're just as well.
So are they like Gila monsters and they're poisonous too? Because they got Gila monsters down in Arizona.
I haven't seen them here. No, they're not poisonous. They're totally benign, but they're yucky. So who the heck wants them? You know?
At least you don't have to worry about convulsing and frothing at the mouth. I thought these things were like Gila monsters and they were poisonous. They're just ugly looking and kind of scare people a little bit.
And they crap the place up and they eat everything that's green. So we can't have them here. We got to get rid. If they're not indigenous, you know, just like boa constrictors, they're all over here and they allow people to kill them. In fact, they're encouraging people to kill boas, you know, because they're like these huge, or pythons, whatever, huge strangle-type snakes. And
well, how about this? I got a new Tater X95. It's a bullpup carbine
I think
gun.
That would work.
And I'll bring it. We could go hunt boa constrictors and these iguanas. Yeah.
All right. You got it. I mean, it'll be fun if nothing else. I don't know how many we'll actually hit, but we will. We'll make our mark. Let's put it that way.
Good. Well, give me some camo and war paint, and we'll go to war against the iguanas.
You got it. And hey, if we run into a gator, we run into a gator. Don't worry about it. We'll be okay. Right?
So, not with 223 ammo. I think they're a little. Don't we need something a little bigger, like a 45, to take pierce the skin of those alligators?
I think the 223 5.56 round will probably with a, you know, like a thin metal jacket will probably shatter on impact and probably take them out pretty well. It's my guess.
Okay.
But hey, look, all right. If you're listening and you've got a better way to kill an iguana or a gator or even whatever is out there, these big snakes, boas, whatever. I don't think they're boa constrictors, but they're like really nasty snakes that strangle you to death. If you've got a better way to do it, just write us here at kl@carrylutz.com or put it up on the Twitter feed, whatever it takes. Just put it up there and we'll take a look at it. And if it looks workable, we'll try it out and get back to you. And if it works, I'll send you a free silver pre-1965 quarter. Just send me your email address and your physical mailing address. Aaron, it's always great to have you on. So let's see what's going to be here with workers of the world, if they're going to unite or just escape on YouTube and podcasting. Anyways, so where's the best place to find you these days?
Best place to find me is CaptainCapitalism.blogspot.com. I run a consulting company that I can't mention the name because it's a curse word of sorts. But if you look up Aaron Clary, you'll find me there. And I got a new website that I'm running called olderbrother.com, where I have the Older Brother podcast, but that's just in its infancy right now.
All right, cool. Hey, well, we will talk to you again real soon. And thanks for coming on. As always, be well. And like I said, the Twitter feed, Facebook, email kl@carrylutz.com. Just write us. Let us know how we get rid of these pesky wildlife creations that have no place in our man-dominated society and world. Aaron, it's always great talking to you. We'll be having you on again soon. Be well, my friend.
Thanks for having me, Kerry.
FSN Radio. It's all about what's next. Go to financialsurvivalnetwork.com and sign up for your free weekly newsletter. You'll also get three free reports. The Financial Survival Network. It's all about what's next.